Hello, and welcome back to Poor Man's Podcast, where every week we find a new fantastic movie from the vaults of time and rip it open for all of you to laugh at its insides in a very, very overdue autopsy. I'm joined, of course, by my weekly compatriots, Ari.
Hello.
And Jake.
Heyo.
Well, of course, we have no qualification to be talking about this stuff, but, you know, we like doing it, and apparently you like listening to it, so let's jump right in. Today's film is called It Came from Pluto's Moon. It's a 1938 film about an alien monster that arrives from Pluto's moon and the corresponding voyage into space to cut it off at the source. Now, this is a slightly lesser-known movie. This might not even be a B-movie. This might be a C-movie. When did you two first hear about this film?
I first heard about this film while I was sitting on the toilet at the local pub, and I saw it scrawled, like the name of the movie scrawled into the bathroom stall as a bit of graffiti. And so I looked it up and have been an avid fan ever since. So to answer your question, about a week.
Fantastic. I love an organic find. Well, just in time. What about you, Jake?
Well, you know me, I'm a big Watch Mojo fan. It's the only channel that I subscribe to on YouTube. And they were doing top 10 Watch Mojo. Watch Mojo gives top 10 movies with the word Pluto in the title. Mm-hmm. And obviously Pluto Nash was number one. But I'd seen that. But number two was It Comes from the Pluto Lagoon, as you've said. So I... Mm-hmm. After seeing that, I thought, oh, this looks like a good movie. I'll give it a quick legal torrent because it's in the public domain. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've watched it probably every day since. Been 3 years now. Yeah, still love it on the 750th watch. It still does it for me.
Fantastic. Awesome. And, you know, I also love this film. It's one of those ones that, you know, my dad was a big fan of these kind of movies growing up, so he always had something like this playing in the background, and this was one of the ones that really stuck in my head. Now, for anybody who's watching who hasn't seen it, you gotta see this movie. So we're gonna chat about it for a little while before getting into the more spoilery territory. So feel free to, listen up to that point if you haven't seen it, but at that point, you should really go ahead and watch it. So with that in mind, no spoilers. What do you guys think? Let's go through the plot of the movie a little bit. Of course, it opens with the monster from Pluto's moon.
Yeah. The eponymous monster.
Yeah. The monster. Did you want to talk about that opening scene there, Jake?
Yeah, sure. So it opens on Pluto's moon, and what I like about these sorts of movies is a lot of movies these days kind of, they feel the need to put like, you know, a shot of Pluto's moon and then in the bottom corner, like have Pluto's moon in text, comma, mm-hmm. like just outside of Pluto. You know what I mean? Like I know what Pluto's moon looks like, dude. I've watched this like 750,000 times. I don't need to know. So it shows instead of telling. Which I think a lot of these old D movies do. So we have that establishing shot, which is beautiful for the time. I believe mm-hmm. they shot it just down the road, actually, from where I live at the local Countdown. They used that as the opening shot. They just zoomed in on a blueberry and used that, which is, you know,
mm-hmm. Pretty resourceful creative. Filmmaking. Yeah. I mean, that's what you got to love about these movies. Go ahead, Ari.
You could really tell that they did that in retrospect when you sort of see the small ant or aphid creature sort of crawling across the blueberry. But it really mm-hmm. leads some credence to the idea of the monster.
Yeah. But it's a bit mysterious because it's kind of like, it's like the shadow of the ant sort of thing. And I mean, you don't, the way they shot it, you don't know it's an ant, but you know, movie buffs like us know the process, so we know it's an ant. But when you watch the film, you think, holy shit, like what is that? Did they actually find a monster from Pluto to film this? But, no, that's not what they did. So they have the establishing shot, and then, the monster has a monologue, which I think Ari knows the monologue off by heart. So Ari, do you want to carry on from that?
Yeah, sure. As Jake's just mentioned, I did enjoy this movie. I've watched it at least 17 times since I found it in the last week. So I think I've got a pretty good idea of, you know, this monologue and the structure that it takes. It takes the form of a iambic pentameter, very much coming out of Shakespeare's book. And he starts off being, there once was a monster from Nantucket who decided that he wanted to live in a bucket. And it just goes on from there. And it really starts to set the scene about how the rest of the movie goes on.
Yeah, establishes the sort of lighter tone this film pursues.
So you're supposed to, I mean, at that part, you're like, does this monster speak and watch Shakespearean plays? Or is this kind of like the internal thought process of the monster? Kind of thinking about its own mortality, its own existence, an existential threat, like, you know? Like, is there another monster like me in Nantucket, a place on a planet called Earth? And if it wants to live in a bucket, why can't I too, a monster from Pluto, live in the same bucket and find love? So it's a very sympathetic character, and this is where he starts his journey off towards Earth. So Duncan, if you want to, I think that's summarized fairly completely.
Yeah, well done, guys. It really gives you a feel for how this film starts to play out. And if that doesn't convince you to watch it, I don't know what will. So I'm going to go ahead and sound the spoiler warning right now. Do not keep listening if you haven't seen this movie. It's a great, terrible movie. So, you know, remember, we're about to get into details because we've all seen the movie. The monster makes it to Earth and obviously starts going on its rampage. But not before we get, you know, first look at our protagonist, who was actually a surprisingly... low-grade movie example of Leslie Howard, a famous actor from the 1930s. He's got that sort of sharp look about him, so you know he's sort of a little bit of a nerd. He's one of the astronomers who is seeing things happen on Pluto. You get those string stings coming in, the it's a great scene, sort of establishing the stakes back here on Earth. Can I ask, now that we're, you know, the whole movie's open for discussion, what would your favorite character be, would you say, Ari?
My favorite character would be Jenny, the love interest of the monster. She really speaks to me on a fundamental level, especially when she said the line, "Ari, why don't you do something better with yourself and with your life and go and make something of it?" Really spoke to me.
Yeah, I can imagine it would. What about you, Jake? Which scene really spoke to you in that film, that absolute masterpiece of a film?
You were just talking about characters, and obviously my favorite character is Harold, the male prostitute turned CEO of Monster Killer Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like... the scene in the boardroom where he's kind of delivering his inspiring speech about how, you know, monsters are a stain on our society, and you know that, like, a monster, you know, killed his parents and forced him into a life of male prostitution. And I thought it was a very it's a very emotional scene, and again, these they make all the characters in this film likeable, relatable, just kind of, you know what they're trying to achieve, they're sympathetic, and so when the conflict comes in the later part of the film between the monsters and the people and Jenny and I know we're talking about spoilers, but I feel like it's like a spoiler for me to actually say
fair.
The twist, so we'll get to that a bit later, but you know, when all that comes into play, I feel like it's you just don't really know who to root for, and it makes it all that more interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you know, as in all these films, they do have this sort of gratuitous spaceship scene of them all getting in the giant, you know, tin can looking capsule, and you know, they all have their uniforms on, which is strangely, you know, a much different shape for the one female crew member. Jenny, of course, in her, you know, bright aluminium foil mini skirt, and the rest of them in their full, you know, astronaut bodysuits. I mean, it's the 1930s. What are you going to do? Half the reason we watch this stuff is because it's so terrible, right?
100%. I mean,
terribly good.
Go ahead, Ari.
No, Jake got that from me.
What did you say, Ari? Jake, what did you say, Jake?
I just said terribly good.
Terribly, classic. That actually brings us to one of my final definite questions for you guys. Would you say this is a bad movie or a bad good movie? Or even more strangely, a good bad movie?
I'd say it's a good bad good movie in a bad way.
A euphoric horror movie, I think, is possibly a better way to phrase it, Jake.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a better way to phrase it, Ari. Thanks for making me sound like an idiot.
No, I
appreciate that, bud.
I try my hardest.
Hey, we're all friends here. And speaking of, you know, friends, I can't believe we've never watched this movie together. I mean, obviously you guys have seen it lots, and I've seen it lots as well. But this is one of those things that I would have loved to experience that twist with you guys, which, you know, I mean, obviously I know, but I'm not saying because I suppose we already have sound of the sport. I'm not saying because I figured that Ari would wanna talk about that.
About the big spoiler?
Yeah, the big twist around Act 3.
The classic scene. I believe that the big twist that you're really speaking of here is that moment where our monster protagonist wakes up and he finds himself in his bucket that he'd been looking for all along, and says to himself, "Oh, it was all a dream."
That's not how I remember it, Ari. I remember the monster, at this point played by Judy Garland, waking up in bed, right? And she says, you know, it was all a dream. You were there. It's not like, oh, it's all a dream. I think
you know, I'm going to stop you right there, Jake, because I think you're talking about the end scene from Wizard of Oz, and that didn't come out for another couple of years after this film came out. I was referring to the twist where, okay, not clearly none of us have seen this movie. Am I correct in saying that?
I think I saw it in my dreams, at least.
Now that you say this, I haven't actually seen it. I'd seen a kind of analysis of it, but now that you say that, yes, that I think I've gotten confused between that film and The Wizard of Oz. The porno version.
Yeah, all right, I'm just going to Google it really quick so we can still give people something to listen to.
I mean, can you cut this bit out, Duncan? Because it's kind of embarrassing.
This bit? You mean the entire episode?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, but you know.
It Came from Pluto's Moon was a spec script that was tossed around in 1938 like a hot potato and never made because it was so hellishly bad, but it was written by a studio exec's grandson and therefore was considered by Sep. It was never made. This movie doesn't exist.
Oh. Well, that's good then.
Was I watching then?
I think this all goes to show that it's very important to be open to new... Ari, what does this all show?
This all shows that you really shouldn't be taking suggestions from a bathroom stall wall when it comes to your movie choices. And even more so, you should really question what websites you end up on to watch these things.
Yep. And I'd just like to add that you can catch this episode in... Top 10 Watch Mojo worst podcast episodes. We're not that bad, but you know, we're on the list, so please like and subscribe to my channel, Watch Jake Watch Mojo.com.
Thank Duncan? You everyone for your patience. I hope that everyone has a lovely week, and if anyone wants to make this movie, we've copyrighted all the plot points we talked about today, so don't even think about it. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Whoever's having the coughing fit, you're okay?
Yeah, I just choked on my last bit of water.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Cut that bit out.
I don't know. I think it's pretty solid.